Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More, and I'm your host, Lori Frazee. Hey, if you missed last week's show, I had Scott Smith on from QSB Trailers or Q and Stewin and Bruin. Want to make sure I got all those right. Barbecue. You can catch that. I have the archive. You can either go to Blog Talk to get the archive on it, or you can go to the Facebook page, Barn Goddess Barbecue and More, with your host, Lori Frazee, and you can pick that archive link up there and listen to it. So I just want to make sure to let you all know that. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Sweet Smoke, the letter Q.com, and I give you that because that way if you need to place an order, you know where to get them. Hot Wachulas, Swamp Boys Championship Barbecue, Fire Butler, Rec-Tec Pellet Cookers, Royal Oak Charcoal, and CookinPellets.com. I was at a contest this past weekend as a rep, and Jim Elzer is going to be on with us for a intimate chat about what's going on in his world. But I got to tell you, for a first-time contest, I hope everybody had a great time. I mean, we would like to be able to order perfect weather for barbecue contest, but we know that doesn't work. The rain did put a big damper on things, but it was kind of interesting being a small contest. I happen to be one of the people that really like the small contest, both as a rep or as a judge and as a team, because your box hit every table. Now, until we get automated, they're still almost impossible for them not to hit maybe another table with the same teams, but you hit every judge, and I really like that because that way if somebody's having a bad day as a judge, then everybody's going to see that person. And quite frankly, to me, that seems to be like the fairest way for any of that to happen. So I enjoy them, and I will also share with you, you get a good opportunity to, oh, look, I just got a text from Rudd Bagby, and he got his banner for winning the Florida State Championship in Lake City last year, and we just got that to him, so I hope he likes it. I'm just going to text him back and say, hope you like it, and hopefully he'll put it on he'll put it on Facebook. There. Very excited to just make that announcement. You know, every year we pick a contest in Florida, Alabama, and Georgia to be the state championship contest. And it actually counts double points for any team that participates and wins. So, Rub won last year in Lake City. Dothan, Alabama is Georgia. And I think it's Dillard. Dothan, Alabama, and I think in Georgia it's Dillard, but I could be wrong. And I'm looking. I'm sure if somebody is listening to that and it's incorrect, they will let me know real quick, because we always have people that kind of keep us on our toes as to what's going on out there. I saw on Facebook the Mills are broke down on the side of the road, or the Davises are broke down on the side of the road, so that really sucks. I'm headed to Georgia tomorrow to pick up my trailer, so I will give you a really good review of it next week, because it is something, you know, Scott and I talked a lot about it, and if you are looking for a trailer or a toy hauler or whatever, you really... God, there's just so much stuff that goes into it. And you really have to dig deep, not only in your pockets, but figure out what you really, really want. I mean, I think I said it last week. I ask people when I'm selling them a house what their wish list is. And that's really what you have to kind of do when you're getting ready to put together a trailer. And in this case, I think this is like my fourth or fifth, I don't know, barbecue trailer, but it's only my second concession trailer. And I did the true thing where my first concession trailer, I bought one that was very minimal It didn't have, I mean, it was just awfully filthy when I bought it. I mean, I would have been embarrassed to sell that to somebody. It was so bad. I mean, when fat from a deep fryer turns into rubber, because that's kind of what happens with it, and anybody that's ever worked in a restaurant and has been around a nasty fryer, you know what I'm talking about, and you have to literally scrape it off the floors and the wall. It's pretty bad when I thought the interior of it was that brushed aluminum look, and what it was white. It was just really dirty. So, yeah, I did that and then stripped it out and cleaned it up and sold it much, much cleaner than the way I bought it, but very inexpensive the way I did it, and decided if I wanted to do that or and do festivals or be on the side of the road or whatever. So it's a whole gamut of questions you need to ask yourselves. And if anybody ever wants to privately talk about that, because I have people contact me all the time, don't hesitate to send me a message. I would rather talk with you on the phone about it than type it, because quite frankly I don't have time to sit there and type back and forth. Anybody that gets into long chat conversations with me finds, and they know I'll just, if I've got their number somewhere in a past, you know, text or something, I'll be on the phone to them before I can tolerate typing away. Did want to say Diva Q, I'm hoping to have her on real soon again. We had such a great time the last time she was on. She's got the new book that's you can do pre-ordering, and some of the people were promoting that on Facebook. I know she's heading into Philadelphia today, so I'm real excited to talk to her about that, because a lot of people, and when I was doing the other cooking show, and I still do once in a while, I get quite a few authors on with cookbooks. People who cook have a desire to, you know, share that information and put it into a cookbook, and I will tell you that writing recipes, if you've never done it, it's very time-consuming, because you want to be able to repeat it and have somebody else be able to read it and repeat it the way it should come out. And it makes it tough when you don't use recipes. So it's like the first time I ever wrote a bread pudding recipe, I was like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to put this together? Because I know what I do. I have no recipe, and I know what finally works. And then to go, okay, now I have to write this down for somebody. So anyway, it'll be interesting to chat with her about that, and I'm really excited for her grilling. And I just, oh my gosh, I just went grilling with Rich. Rich did a book last year, and you know, it takes quite a bit of time to put the books together. So congratulations to her, and we'll have her on real soon to talk about that. And for anybody who ever wants to do it, and if you really ever thought about putting together some kind of cookbook, there's all kinds of websites, and there's all kinds of recipe websites where you can go in and sit down, put your recipes to paper, but there's also a way to produce a cookbook out of it. So if you really ever want to do that, I mean, it's not going to be like Danielle's or Rich's, more than likely, but if you ever want to do that, that's a mechanism for you to get some, especially if you've got family recipes that nobody's ever written down. It might be a really nice thing to pass on. The other thing is, and I don't remember, and we'll, you know, find out more about this from Danielle, but I think she did a lot of the photography herself. And if you are doing contests or recipes, a very tough thing. I mean, you know, we always joke about food porn and getting the angles right. Some people are just really gifted at the art. It's the art of photography with still things, making it look like there's dimension to it. A lot of people like to use white backgrounds. I prefer to use black backgrounds. You know, it just depends. It's kind of like the black box thing. And I'll ask Jim what he thought about the black box, and I'm going to tell you I'm probably going to have to, knowing him, I'll probably have to text him and go, don't forget to call in. This weekend, Sonny's donated boxes to the contest, which was great, because I'm sure as a first-time contest, it's very overwhelming for people. So they did get that donated, and it was the black boxes. I really like to compete with black boxes. I think the meat looks great. And I hate to say it, but I never really thought about that until Dennis Schmidt was pointing it out. Some things get hidden. You know, if you don't get the box perfectly clean, you might not have to worry so much about it because a smudge might not show up. Now, let's see. Let me just call me. Call in. I'm sending my little text to Jim, and he'll probably be going, oh, crap, because I'm sure he's going to Kissimmee this weekend. So I'm guessing he's probably doing chicken. Wednesday's a big chicken night for people. They'll go ahead and it's kind of funny. People will tell me that, well, I was cleaning chicken while I was listening to your show. And Blog Talk has a new thing. And, again, I remind you, if you have a reason that you need to do a meeting or something on barbecue or, you know, food-related, and there's Jimmer's, and you want to use my network, I'm happy to let you do that for like we do with the board of directors meetings, and our board meeting will be next Monday, so you'll be looking for that. Jim, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
I just said, I bet you he's cleaning chicken and is going to lose track of time, so I'll just send him a little note.
No, I don't seem to trim chicken anymore during the week. I don't, just because I'm so busy nowadays.
And you're only working part-time.
Yeah, but well, I'm working my engineering part-time, but I seem like I'm working still two full-time jobs.
Yeah, and let's kind of go back because, I've had you on several times, but I know that I've got several new listeners. Tell us a little bit about how you got into barbecue, and I mean, for most people know that I know you very well, and I'm, you know, I know this answer, but let's share your story a little bit.
Oh, man, the competition barbecue started 7 years, this is my seventh year, so 2010, January 2010, I thought I would try this competition barbecue thing out, and originally from Ohio, did a lot of barbecuing, you know, for friends and family up there, and every get-together we had, you know, they wanted me to make barbecue, you know, ribs or pork, and, you know, you always hear this, oh, it's the best barbecue you ever ate, and blah, 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 and well, I moved down here, and we didn't have the contest that up, like we do down here in the South. Up there we had, you know, in Ohio, I still think there's only maybe three or four contests, you know, a KCBS contest a year. So there's not even a lot of contests up there, you know, my neck of the woods. So I didn't really know anything about competition barbecue, to be honest with you. And I moved down here in 2005, and, you know, obviously, lived in Winter Haven and just recently moved to Lakeland. And we, you know, smoke on the water in Winter Haven was, you know, popular. So we went there and, like, tried the food. Didn't knowing that what I know now that a lot of the vendors, you know, they're just there to vend. They're not, you know.
Right.
You know, they're there to vend. And I tried several of their, you know, ribs and pork, and I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, I can do this, and I can cook better than these guys. Didn't realize that, you know, it was a totally different game than backyard than competition. So after a couple of years doing, you know, a few years and going to Winter Haven Smoke on the Water and Lakeland Pig Fest, just decided on a whim that, hey, you know, let me, and I love to cook. You know, I've always loved to cook since I can remember. I think, you know, I started cooking when I was 12. And then when I was in high school, I worked in a kitchen at a hospital. So, I love to cook. And it just was another way to, you know, enjoy cooking. So, after a few years of visiting, you know, Lakeland Pig Fest and Winter Haven Smoke on the Water, it was like, we can do some of this. And I was at work one day and bored, and I was just doing some quick research, just dabbling around in, you know, competition barbecue, because I had no idea, you know, what was it all about. And I come across the Florida Barbecue Association website, and I looked at the contest. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of contests within, you know, hour, 2 hours of, you know, of Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So went to a few more different ones, and then I'm like, I got the bug. I'm like, all right. So in about 2 weekends, I just kind of threw together, you know, a smoker and, you know, cooked on it one time. And then the next weekend we took it to Lakeland, and obviously, we all know what the, you know, the outcome of that was. You know, I'm doing probably up to about 150 contests in the 7 years. And this was before Pitmasters and all that. I think the first season of Pitmasters was just coming out, and I roll into Lakeland, and I'm right across Myron Mixon. You know, I didn't know who this guy was other than I seen him on TV, that one, you know, right there. So I'm like, wow. And then I seen, you know, Tuffy and Johnny Trigg was there. I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool. So by 5 o'clock on Friday, and we rolled in there on Friday morning, and we vended and competed in the pro. I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go pro. I want to win some money. I don't want to do the backyard. By 5 o'clock on Friday, I was ready to pack up and leave. I was just overwhelmed with trying to bend, and up until that point, I started doing a lot of research, you know, in this competition, you know, how to do things, and I thought, you know, all right, I'm all prepared for it now. It was totally, my eyes were, you know, I was like, wow, I don't know what anything about this. So. And then the next weekend we went to Winter Haven, which is, you know, hometown contest. And after that contest, I'm like, it was went better, but I was about ready to throw in the towel. I'm like, I would have quit, honestly, I would have quit if I didn't have so much money wrapped up into it already. And I'm like, all right, I'll just give it a little more time and just started, you know, doing a lot more research, getting, you know, just talking to people. And that's how I started, and it was kind of you know, my passion to cook, and coming across the FBA website. That's how I got into this.
That's kind of funny. I didn't realize that you vended your first contest, because that is biting off quite a bit to try and do. And
well,
that pig fest is crazy.
That's the part I thought would be the coolest. I'd love to, you know, feed people and, you know, hear their great comments. Oh, you know, we got the good barbecue. And, yeah, no, it wasn't a good thing.
No, I'm sure it wasn't. Who was helping you then?
It was mainly Garrett. He was 7 years ago. He's 19 now. So he was, you know, Garrett was young. And then my buddy I met down here, it was pretty much just the three of us.
Okay,
so
and were
just,
you using your big rib cooker then? Is that what you
yeah,
were cooking
that
with?
Was that yeah, that was the first first cooker I built, and after a few contests and not getting any sleep, you know, it was, you know, throwing wood in that every 45 minutes. I was like, there's got to be a better way. I just can't function, you know, at, you know, 8 o'clock, you know, Saturday morning to start, you know, the chicken and the ribs, and that's why I did a little research to come across these things that are called the Ugly Drums. And I think after my fourth contest, my fifth contest, I went and my buddy gave me two drums. He had two burn barrels that he was using, or he was going to use. So here, use them. I got a Weber lid and some grates, and I put one of those together in 2 hours and went to my fifth contest was in the Sebring. Went down there and cooked overnight. I cooked my pork and brisket on it, and that's, I got two calls in those categories. I'm like, wow, this is, you know, I don't have to stay up all night.
And that juice was born.
Yeah, and that was before I, you know, the temperature controllers. I had no idea about the, you know, the gurus and all this stuff. I had no idea. I just knew people, you know, use these Ugly Drum trash cans. And it was, you know, at the point that, you know, I already had so much money wrapped up with, you know, the smoker. And especially with vending, you don't know how much food to buy, and then you don't sell a lot, and the first year was a train wreck. I mean, actually, it was a train wreck. I don't know why I didn't quit. I mean, I really don't.
Would you tell me, you were on, it was 24 contests before you got your grand?
34. It was 34 contests before I got my first grant.
Okay.
34, and, you know, these new teams coming out, and okay, I'm ready to win, you know, this is, you know, after, you know, 10, 15, like, and it took me, you know, it took me 34, and that was, you know, I didn't get my first grand until, I would think, probably 4 years ago, yeah, 4 years ago, and I cooked, you know, the first year I probably cooked, you know, four contests, second year five, and then, you know, we started creeping up, and the team of the year points started doing better, and my goal was, and I don't remember what year it was, probably the third year, I wanted to be in top 10 in the FBA, and, you know, we were real close, and then we cooked more than what we originally thought we were going to cook, and we come in, I think our first year, or we got that year, where they got ninth place in the FBA, and then it just seems like it's just kind of like snowballed and did more and more, and a lot of people don't realize, you know, I haven't done, you know, right now I'm doing, the last 3 years, I've done 30, 35 contests, and up until that point, most of them were like 12, if, you know, no more than 15, so I went from basically 10 to 12 to doing 30, 35, so it was just my mission to, you know, it was just like that mission to just, I want to be in the top 10, and then got in the top 10, okay, next year, I want to be top 5, you know, we got that, and then the next year, all right, let's see if we can go for a team year, you know, and 2013, it went down to me, Hot Chulas, and Big Papa's Country Kitchen at the last event in Perry, Florida.
Yeah.
And you were there at that contest, and it was anybody's ballgame. And it was down to that last, the brisket last call on brisket was first place brisket. We had, you know, it wrapped up. And Matt got a first place brisket to jump him. He beat me, by 4 or 5 points.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, all right, next year I'm on a mission. And then, you know, we came out, you know, 2014. And 2014 was a very good year. Did very well. You know, we had some back-to-back grand champions. And then we won the world and didn't ever expect to win the world, you know, going out there. Because the year before, we were pretty much down at the bottom. So the mission was, you know, to focus and do, you know, put every minute, I put every second I had, spare time, into barbecue. Just because I wanted to, not say beat every people, I want to prove to myself that, you know, I can do this. You know, my goal is to do that, and that's what I did. And it takes a lot of work. You know, everybody, you know, that's been in this so-called hobby sport, no, it's not easy. If it was easy, you know, anybody could do it.
Everybody would do it.
It takes all your dedication. You know, you have to have a passion for it. You know, and I've had many, many, you know, not sleepless nights, but I don't get a lot of, you know, it wasn't like I was, you know, sleeping a lot. I would stay up and I would do research. I would do tests. I would do this and try to figure out this stuff. So obviously it all worked out, you know, at the end, and I'm still in this year, you know, I didn't think I would have a better year than 2014, 2016. It seems to be even better than that. So
yeah,
it's just a thing that, you know, proved to myself that I can do something that I set goals to do.
Sure, and that's kind of what it's all about. Now, let me ask you this, a couple of things. Somebody this weekend said that they felt like the new guys had it so easy being able to take classes, and they're not putting in their time. And I went, well, you know, I don't think that's necessarily true, but, the learning curve is cut drastically when people are able to do classes. And you, Matt, Rub, I mean, Smokey D's, you know, Darren, Travis, Clark, everybody's, there's a lot of real high-profile teams doing in-depth classes.
Yeah, and I can tell you, you know, I can tell you exactly in my class, I give you, honestly, I probably give you 90%, 95% of what I do, and I follow, you know, like I'm at a regular contest. This is what I go through. This is what I do. I can give you everything, but you're still going to have to cook it. And it's hard to teach that tenderness. It's a tenderness game. You have to have that perfect tenderness. And I hear this from the news. Well, my product was tender. How do you know it's tender? You know, if you've only been cooking, you know, a few contests, how do you know that? How do you know what the judge is looking for?
Yeah.
So it's that takes a little bit of time to, you know, kind of master. I don't use, you know, my thermal pen is a glorified, very expensive toothpick, and I teach that in my class. This tells me about where I'm at, but it's steel. And and especially with pork and ribs, those two categories, it's a feel thing. I don't even care what the temperature is. You know, I used to be, you know, money muscle has to be, you know, a certain temperature, 195 or whatever that is. I've had money muscle that's been lower and way higher and done, like, to the perfect tenderness. So it's a feel thing that's hard to teach. But back to your question, it was, you know, these new teams, yes, their learning curve, you know, I started off 7 years ago. If I would have taken a class in my very first, second year, I would have shaved off, you know, a good year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends on how much you cook too. And that's where, you know, the teams, not just myself, Matt or Rub, you know, they're winning. It just, you look at the teams across the country, the top teams, they're cooking 30 plus contests.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's that repetition. It's that, you know, mm-hmm. you do the same thing. I got that question asked last week, you know, why am I on such a roll? I'm doing the exact same thing that I did last week. I cooked best last week. My temperatures, everything is hitting. I'm pulling off, you know, at the perfect time. So the practice makes perfect. And it's hard to do in the backyard, you know, practice. And, you know, I think, you know, you can practice at home, but you're not gonna run into you're not gonna be in the real world competition, because at home, all right, well, it's running, you know, half hour late. I got time, I can do that. You know,
and
the real competition, you got to turn that, or you got to make adjustments to get that that product done. You know, if it's cooking too fast, you gotta know what to do to slow it down. If it's cooking too slow, you got to know what to do to speed it up. And that's where you learn from doing it week in and week out. That's you know, it, and when you got problems, you know, you know how to overcome those.
Yeah, and every piece of meat is different. You know, that's one of the things. And it was funny to have one of the guys this last weekend go, you know, I thought this was going to be a lot easier than it is. Because there were so many new guys at this contest this weekend.
Yeah. And it's like I never say it's going to be it's easy. It's always it's not easy. I'm sure it's not easy for me or any other team that does this, you know, 30 plus. It's just not, if it was, like I said, if it was easy, if it was that easy, everybody would be doing it and it'd be not a challenge. But you know, I face challenges. You know, 2 weeks ago I was in Bainbridge, Georgia. I had a bad temperature probe. Obviously it showed in my outcome because, you know, my product cooked different than it did, you know, before. Got that fixed, and, you know, I'm back on track. So a little thing like that can throw you off the game.
In the cooker you're talking about? The probe?
Yeah,
in the
my temperature probe for my my automatic controller was a little faulty. It was jumping, and I didn't catch that until when my ribs, about an hour and a half in, my ribs were almost done. So I was messing around, and I seen the temperature fluctuate. So I had a spare probe. I switched it out, and my ribs are cooking at 350 degrees, where normally they're, you know, 250. So obviously I pulled them off. And my pork, you know, that was the same drum that I cooked my pork, and my pork was done way early. By the time we were wrapped, it was almost done. I'm like, I learned that, okay, if there's a problem like that, it's cooking way early, there's probably a problem.
Yeah.
So kind of got that fixed, and, you know, went to Northport this weekend, and obviously we had a pretty good cook, and I didn't think
obviously.
It was the greatest cook, and then, you know, it was good. It was just, you know, I don't know if I'm ever 100% satisfied with any of my product. I'm always trying to find something to critique, you know. I'm always trying to make it better, whether, you know, if it's a perfect score, I'm always trying to improve on that, because I want to, okay, maybe it's good this week. You know, I'm always trying to be ahead of the game, the head of the other, you know, top team. You know, we're trying different things. So I critique myself more than what I probably should, but there's very rarely, and this weekend's a good example. I'm like, it was good cook, but I think it could have been a lot better. And after awards, you know, looking at my score sheet, oh, well, we got the highest, you know, the highest score in the FBA to today. You know,
yeah,
didn't
I
feel
saw
like,
that.
You know, that was my, didn't feel like that was my best cook, but obviously it was, it's not a fluke. It was good.
Yeah.
But
have you had a perfect score yet?
No.
You were only a half point off, right?
I've been a half point off, I don't know, in all categories, in pork. I had two almost perfect scores, chicken, one judge, and 9.5, and I think taste, and chicken was a 9.5 in taste. I've had almost perfect scores in every category. The only perfect score I've gotten, which was last year at the Kansas City Royal, a perfect 180, which, you know, KCBS drops low score. Well, we had all you know, perfect scores across the board in potato.
And
I didn't
that
even
was,
cook that potato.
That was Jamie's,
that was my
right?
Sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
yeah, cool.
The, you know, the only perfect score that, you know, Sweetsman has had. I've had a lot of almost close. I mean, I was telling Matt this weekend, and Matt has not either. And I said, we cannot buy a perfect score. But, you know, it's not like, you know, yeah, that'd be nice to have, but at the end of the day, all my goal is to, you know, I'm going there, you know, I want to, you know, win that category, you know, have the highest score of anybody else. So it's not like it's like I'm losing sleep over not having a perfect score. It, you know, it'd be great to get one, but it's been close so many times.
Yeah, and I would be remiss not to mention Uncle Toad did get a perfect score this weekend, and it didn't get announced. And so
yeah.
Congratulations to Todd for and Uncle Toad's barbecue for getting that perfect score, because it is a pretty big deal, and I know you were...
Especially in the FBA, it's a big deal because we don't drop any score, so it
right.
is a big deal.
Right. How do you feel about that? Because that comes up time and time again. Do you like that idea of dropping the high and the low?
I think it's good. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's good for the KCBS. You know, that's the way they started, and I think I don't think that the FBA should drop it. You know, I've had lots of people say, well, we need to change it. You know, you need to do something about changing. Like, I don't necessarily agree with that, you know. Every judge is, you know, obviously we've had, you know, have good judges, bad judges, you know, angel tables, death tables. It is what it is. They're there to judge. Obviously, it has affected me and affected a lot of people. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, it is what it is. So I wouldn't suggest changing it. I mean, I'd be totally against it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see that as something we should do, but it really does come up quite a bit. And you know, I do think that, well, as teams, of course, we beat up judges a lot. And I will say that, you know, working with them this weekend, judges take it seriously. They're reminded on a regular basis that we have, as cooks, a lot of money invested, and I do think they take it serious. Do we agree all the time? But it was pointed out to me that it's not like racing a car and going, okay, Jim, your car beat Lori's today. You know, it's not that. It's everybody's opinion. So I think that's where the frustration comes in
until you take that human factor out. And we were talking about this weekend. Until you can push your food into a chamber that, you know, it can be analyzed by a robot or whatever.
Yeah.
There's always going to be it's going to be subjective. It's going to be what that judge likes, what that judge doesn't like. And I tell a lot of people, especially newer teams, you got to find a way, you got to find some what those judges want. You cannot offend one. If you offend one judge, you know, you're out of it. So you got to find that flavor and that tenderness to hit all six judges.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. So let's talk World Foods for a second. The year that, you know, and obviously we've talked about this before, that was so much fun to be there and be part of, was you walking the final stage. And this year, to watch the barbecue guy actually win. But the year that you said you didn't, the year before you didn't do well. Was that the year that you did so well in 2014, was that under the EAT methodology, or was it a KCBS contest that year?
That was under the first round was the KCBS contest.
Okay.
The first round, which we did not do chicken. They eliminated chicken because we had a top 10, you know, the top 10 finishers of that first round moved on to the top 10 round, which was surf and turf. But that first round was strictly, you know, KCBS judges, KCBS, we got a score sheet, KCBS score sheet, minus the chicken. And then the second round, which was surf and turf, was the EAT method.
Oh, okay.
So what, and you know, at that year, we finished, we in the first round, which was the KCBS portion, we finished actually fifth place in that. So we get, you know, we were going into the, you know, the top 10 at, you know, fifth place. So then they took the score of the first round and the score of the top 10 round, combined them, and then the high score, you know, obviously went to the final table.
They didn't do that this year, did they?
No, they strictly went to strictly KCBS because they wanted it to they wanted it to count as, you know, team deer points for the KCBS, which that's why they had to.
What happened with the top 10? Because I'm just sitting here thinking about that. They just cooked.
They didn't. Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, the winner of the round went right to the final table because they thought, and this is what I've heard, was since they put in chicken, they didn't feel like, you know, we already cooked four proteins that we shouldn't have to cook another day to go to the final table, which I thought, I just think it was, you know, to make it, and I might be a little biased because, you know, it won that and did so well in the top 10, but I would have liked to seen that because it gives you a different, little bit different element than what we're used to, you know, switch things up. You know, a lot of us team, you know, we do this week in, week out. So it's kind of like clockwork. We can do it our sleep. We can do it blindfolded, whatever. But when you do something outside what you're normally doing, you're going to have to, you know, step up your game or you know, figure out how to, you know, win that second round because that's something totally different than what we're used to. And I definitely missed that this year.
Yeah. I wonder if – how did Lauren do – on like the alligator and what was our other thing that we cooked? We cooked alligator. What was it?
And then steak. We did some.
Oh
kind
yeah,
of steak.
We cooked steak. That's right. We had New York strips, didn't we?
Yeah. I don't know if he can. And that ancillaries was not required. You know, for the total score. So I don't know if he. I don't know if he cooked that or not.
I don't either.
But I know.
I don't remember it.
But I don't know. But I know the year before, Lauren was the top. He was on the top, you know, he was one of the top 10 teams the year before when we were 14. So, you know, he was up there too.
Oh, he was? I didn't remember
that.
He was
one of the top. Maybe it was the year before, the 2013.
13, yeah.
He did.
He's a funny guy. He's very calm and quiet kind of a person. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, when I interviewed him, I'm like, I'm going to have a tough time dragging stuff out of him. What a nice guy. I mean, it was, he was just a totally different person on the phone than when you're sitting there talking to him at his site. he just was really outgoing, and it was a great interview.
And I'm the same way. I didn't really, you know, I knew who they were, you know, from being at the Royal this year and then winning the Invitational. But I didn't really, I don't think I ever talked to him before this year's World. And then after, you know, he won the first round, and then he was over there with, you know, we'd come back and we were, you know, like we liked to party, and he was asking if anybody had briskets or, you know, any other thing. And I said, yeah, Lauren, I mean, I got my leftover ribs, and, you know, I got brisket at home. I'm, you know, 40 minutes down the road, I can bring it back to you. So we struck up a conversation, and I was kind of giving him some pointers, but what I experienced last year at the final table, the do's and the don'ts, you know, what I've learned. And he was really grateful, you know, what I told him. I said, don't put anything on that plate that you're not 100% confident with. I think last year what hurt me in the final table was I put a coleslaw on there. Back to where I'm saying, you got to please all of those judges in it. Please,
they didn't
some
like
of those
it,
judges.
Did
they? There were some that did. There were some that really liked it. And I was told afterwards, if I didn't put that coleslaw on there, because they had to judge that. And we thought it was great. You know, we cooked a couple different side dishes. But we should have just put our chicken and ribs on there and let it just be strictly barbecue. And I think we would have probably had a better chance. I'm not saying we didn't, you know, we only missed the winning the whole thing by just 2 points. So we were right up there. And I think just by some of those judges, we kept that coleslaw off there. And we talked to judges afterwards, and even last year at the World about, I said, yeah, your barbecue was spectacular. You know, some of the judges, or I didn't, you know, preferably liked, it was a vinegar-based coleslaw. And,
I liked it. I thought it was good.
We all liked it, and that's why I went on the plate. And I was, you know, I was real happy with it. But you got to please, I think last year compared to this year, there was 9 judges at the final table.
Yeah, that was a big,
so you had to please all of them,
where
this year I think there was 5 judges or 6 judges. So back to Lauren, you know, we get, you know, I've talked to, you know, help Lauren out, and, you know, right now we're really good, you know, friends. We talk, you know, from time to time. If he's got issue or he's got a question or same thing, we bounce things off. Real nice guy, and, you know, he's very, you know, gracious that I helped him out. Telling him, you know, what to do. I said, just put barbecue on there. Don't do anything else. And obviously it worked out for him.
Yeah, well, obviously. The funny thing is, Jim, you know, I think the reason the Florida people that were there supporting you in Vegas, you know, we all thought it was a great idea, because what's a barbecue without slaw? And so, it was good.
We had different kind of judge, you know, than we had this year. Not taking any away from you know, the judges or the 9 competitors this year. I think we had stiffer, you know, high profile judges on that final table in 2014, that they were, you know, they're looking to nitpick anything, which, you know, it should be. So I don't regret anything other than, and I still don't know if I should have, you know, I would have took that coleslaw off there, but going into barbecue, you know, we talked about, you know, after we won the barbecue portion, you know, then your brain said, okay, what are you going to do for the final table? We even talked about going crazy, like stuffed ribs or just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, what's American barbecue? It's chicken and rib and coleslaw. So that's what we went with. So.
Yeah. And it was, you had beautiful plates. That's the one thing that that I think the guys have a tough time with. You've done some of that. You know, Lauren and them presented it differently this year. And you're right, because you guys had Simon Majumbo, and he was a nitpicker. And I got to tell you, I thought Melissa was, when she was talking to you, I turned to, because Adam Feinstein and Sherry Williams were sitting there, and I go, oh, my God, I think Melissa's going to, you know, is ruining this for Jim, because she was just, she said it was a perfect rib, but then she picked it apart. And we're like,
well,
what you
didn't see, which I don't think people seen, but when it comes down to when they called the top three up there, she was lipping to me. She's like, "You got this. You got this."
Oh,
and
really?
I talked to her before, I talked to her after that fact. She said, "You know, she said that's one of the best barbecues, you know, I've ever eaten." So,
well, that's
a huge
compliment.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was. And then, you know, Robin Leach, you know, afterwards, you know, and they were supposed to air this, you know, I don't know why it never got aired, but one of Robin Leach's question was, and I just got caught up in the moment, he really wanted to know, he said, when I go to barbecues, the sauce just falls off the meat. How do you keep it on the meat? And I just got caught up in the moment because I said, I'm the world barbecue champion, and the place went crazy. And I'm like, oh my God, was that a $95,000 mistake? And afterwards, he was at a charity function with a buddy of mine that helps us out. He said, oh, you were with the barbecue team. He said, yeah. He said, and then my buddy asked him, he said, now what Jim said on stage, did that have any effect on your score, how you score? He said, no. He said, that was really good barbecue. So
yeah.
I just think it boiled down to the coleslaw.
Yeah, that's too bad because it was definitely some perfect ribs there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So what you're going to Kissimmee this weekend. I text Matt this morning to see if he got a spot in. And I do want to tell you that when you guys were neck and neck and at Perry and then Matt beat you in the brisket thing, I have the
mm-hmm.
picture from where you guys got your banners. I don't even know what contest that was. That's on the slideshow from that year. It's me, you, and,
mm-hmm.
and Matt. Anyway, that's running on the slideshow. What do you have planned for the rest of the year? About how many more contests have you got going?
I'm nonstop till – I thought I had a week off in May. I'm doing a class on the 21st and 22nd. And then the week before that, it was supposed to be my off week, but I was asked to do a benefit for Frank Smoes, which is the old organizer for Smoke on the Water. His buddy is in the hospital with a medical problem, so he wants to do some, you know, get a couple of teams in the area, do some championship barbecue for this fundraiser. So, you know, I couldn't
wow.
turn that down, so...
Yeah.
So I did that, and I'm busy till I don't have an off until I don't even know. Probably maybe there's one week in January or June, but you know this weekend I think in Kissimmee, then I'm heading back to Thomaston, Georgia, Dothan, Alabama, coming back to down in Fort Myers, Lakeland. Cocoa, Barnesville, back another trip to Barnesville, doing the Sam's Club, KCBS Sam's Club in Birmingham, Alabama.
Is that where you're going?
In June.
Okay.
So if I get top six there, the week after it's in Marietta, which is Atlanta, and if I get lucky enough to make the top six, I've been like seventh or eighth, you know, the last couple of years. So I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. And then we'll be heading to an awesome contest in Greenwood, South Carolina, the Festival of Discovery. It's down in the downtown Greenwood, which is an awesome contest. So did that one last year for the first time, and a bunch of us from the area, you know, Florida's going to head back there, and that's
a
good one.
I know, I'm thinking about that.
And then it's a good one. It's just the location, and it's just right downtown. It's just really cool. You know, it's we go to a bunch of cool little places. You know, there's a few contests or several contests that stand out because of certain reasons.
Yeah.
You know, the location,
yeah.
You know, where it is. You know, I think Thomaston is one of my top favorite places to go. It's out in the middle of nowhere on this guy's property with a lake. You know, they bring in, you know, they have, you know, bands, and it just brings in the people. It's so cool. So I don't think I have an off week really until second or third week in July.
Wow. Your products, you're doing really well with your products, both drums and sauces. How far or how long before we see the chicken juice?
I just got a message about a half hour or 45 minutes ago, right before I called, and he's like, I want to place an order for this and this, and I want some chicken juice. I said, I bet I could probably sell that for a mint right now. I got mixed feelings. Yeah, I want to get it out there, and it's pretty much ready. It's been doing very well with me, and I think this is a big game changer in chicken. I really do. There's other products out there, brines and stuff, but this is something you inject an hour, 2 hours before you go on the chicken. You know, you put your chicken on, and I can tell you what, you can overcook it, and it's still juicy. So I think it's going to be a huge game changer in chicken.
Because I
struggled for years in chicken, and I've been using this injection for probably three and a half years. And the very first time I used it, I got a first place call, and I'm like, wow. So it's something that's gonna. And I know there's some products out there, but I don't know if there's a lot of people really injecting chicken. I'm actually marinating a brine. I actually brine my chicken, which is probably more of a marinate overnight. Which this bird juice will act. You can use it as both a marinade and a brine. So.
Oh, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just by switching a couple of ingredients. You know, adding a little bit more. Some rub and some chicken broth. You know, you can use this stuff and it'll work, do wonders. So, I wanted to get out right now, but I don't know if I do right now. I mean,
you want to get through the year and see what happens with Team of the Year, because
yeah,
I see
you
took
know,
over.
I give it to, we were in, and I do give it out to one, you know, somebody comes up and say, hey, can I try, you know, in December in Lake Wales, I give it to, I think five of us used it. Everybody got a call except me, and I got, I don't know, 11th place. I got 11th, and everybody got a call with it just by, and it was just a modified version because I'm trying to, you know, to make it where it's, because when you go to a big batch, it's a little bit different than what I'm making.
Oh, yeah.
Because I make it, you know, small batches, and when you go to bottling, so it wasn't exactly what I've been using, and I'm like, everybody got a call on it, so I'm like, and it seems like if anybody uses it, they, you know, if I, they're doing it how, you know, I instruct them or tell them how to do it, it does very well. So probably realistic, I'd say the summertime, but, you know, how time flies, I'm busy. It's probably, my goal is to get it out by July. And there's a reason for that. I want to get a couple products out by the end of, or middle July. I can say that I was filmed for a barbecue show that was going to be premiering on Destination America this summer. So I want to get some stuff out because I know the last time I was on Pit Wars, my product just went over overnight. So I need to be prepared this time because this is a new
it?
Yeah, this is a new show, and it's going to be a very good season of this barbecue show. So I can't wait to. I'm looking forward with a. You know, how they put it all together. So
right. So. Well, I think, you know, from watching others and stuff, they do their best to make you look good unless you're a total dumbass. And there's been a few of them on different shows that they just can't make them look better because they're rude to everybody. So I'll never get over it. I think back on the early days of, and I think it was when Kingsford, I don't know if you remember this, and Melissa was one of the judges, and, you know, they had that guy that just, you know, flipped off the judges when he left, and it's like...
Oh, yeah, Slabs, he's a...
Yeah!
He's like, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, I, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
he hasn't been back on a TV show.
Yeah. and
but,
so,
but,
how...
But, you know, it was,
is...
it was fun doing it, and then I wouldn't want to do one of those every month. It's definitely a totally different animal, so it's going to be a good show, and can't wait to, you know, see what they put out.
We know you can't give us details yet, and when you do are able to give us details, I hope you will come back on and do some details.
Yep, I will do that.
Yeah. So as we are getting this year under our belt, would you like to comment about the status quo in the Florida Barbecue Association as the representative and as the vice president?
Oh yeah, that's been something that, you know, didn't go into this, you know, election year, you know, going, you know, ran for the board at, you know, member at large. Never would have thought, you know, being the vice president wasn't even on my radar. You know, so we got some, you know, some bumps in the road, some things that happen, and I'm like, all right, I'll give it a whirl. And I tell you what, it's been a very learning experience, and it takes a lot of my my spare time, which I don't have much spare time. It's just something that, you know, I'm glad I got to be part of, you know, the FBA board. And it's been challenging at times. It's been frustration, and it's been rewarding too. I never would have thought it would be so much work, you know,
yeah,
extra work than what I normally do. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I'm here to make this, you know, make the organization a little better. Hopefully that work, you know, obviously you know, you see what's going on, and we're trying to do our best. And a lot of times you can't make everybody happy. You know, you got to look through everything and see every angles and every avenues, and you just got to make the best decisions.
Right.
I think for an organization that we've been, 15 years, and I think this year we have went through more changes, and not saying that they're big changes. They're just more changes that we're, you know, the FBA is accustomed to. And I think some old-timers or some people that don't like that, but
right.
I know that we've talked before that, you know, we need to run this as a business. This is a business, so we need to look at it we need to look at it that way. And
yeah.
I think, you know, the current board, we are doing that. So I'm happy with the, you know, the outcome so far. It's been a little rocky at times, but I think, you know, it's just only going to get better.
And I'll tell you that I got a little message from one of our judges, Tim, and he made mention that you did a really good job filling in for Steve at our last meeting, and you did. And you know, that stuff's called upon the vice president too. So, yeah, I know that the rep scheduling takes an awful lot of time for you that you probably weren't counting on.
It does, because, you know, you're trying to, you know, accommodate everybody's schedule. You know, there's some that time that, you know, a rep that needs to back out, or vice versa, or more reps at a time, and it is tough. It's tough to keep track of everybody, what's going on, and with not just with current reps, but charge of, you know, new reps. We have some really good reps in training right now. I'm really excited, you know, for, you know, once these you know, you just became a new rep, and, you know, I think you're doing a very good job, and we need those types of reps that, you know, or understand and work with everybody. So we got some good reps coming on board. I'm excited about that.
Well, you know, I worked with Dennis and this weekend, and Gary Washbum, and Connie was doing a training, and I got to tell you, I really enjoy working with everybody that I've worked with, to be honest with you, but
mm-hmm.
I love working with Dennis in that he's one of the guys that, you know, he really charges the judges, and he talks to them on a, you know, after the script is read, he talks to them on another level. And, you know, because
more like
of
a personal
the,
level, like kind of like,
yeah,
you know, he's not just reading
of,
it. Yeah, he does that. He does that very well.
And because of what happened in Northport, for anybody listening, there was a farmer's market, and so the guys couldn't get in till after 1 o'clock. And we knew that some people were already in there. They got there, like, at 5:30. And so Dennis
mm-hmm.
said, I'm going to be there at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I said to him, I go, well, I'll go with you. He's like, no, you don't have to go. And I'm like, no, I'll go with you because that way we could run around and get the meat inspections done with the people that are there. And, you know, Bart Dixon was, like, I think shocked that we were there, you know, early in the morning. And it was so great because you guys, I know you came in, later in the afternoon. What time did you get there?
I rolled in about 12:30. I went and backed in the staging area, and I finished prepping my pork butts because I had finished. I did some pork butt and my chicken trimming prep here because I knew I was going to roll in late, and I didn't want to roll in because the week before I was at the NBBQA conference in Jacksonville, and I had to drive 3.5 hours to Bainbridge, and I didn't get there till like after 4 o'clock, and I had nothing prepped. And that's not like me, and I was off my game, and so I was more prepared this week. And it showed, you know, showed, you know, my performance. I was just off my game, my timelines, and so I rolled in there, and I was prepared. And it was – and I talked to Bart today. He called me, and I told him, I said, you know, for a first-year sanctioned contest, you did a hell of a job. I mean, hopefully and he's looking forward to the next, you know – next year. So
yeah, I sent him a little note today. Richard Clark, who is a new master judge, just got his master's. He is from Northport, and he helped Bart out a lot. I mean, that poor guy was so sunburned, but did a bang up job. And you know, first year contests, I think they're a little overwhelmed anyway. So,
yeah, and that's what he was saying. You know, he didn't realize, you know, all the and even the community that came to the thing is like, wow, they were like surprised that, you know, we got these teams traveling across Florida, you know, coming here. They were amazed. And I told Bart, I said, every year, you know, your first year, it's only going to get better.
Yeah. Yep, so. And I think that's exactly what he has to look forward to. Hey, you know, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you want to make sure we talk about? I had some notes here. We've talked just about that
no,
stuff.
No, I was at the National Barbecue National NBBQA conference in Jacksonville. That was the first one I've ever been to. I was kind of unique and didn't know what to expect, and I was asked to be on a panel of you know, the judges and cook teams panel for a Friday, you know, Friday morning seminar kind of thing. So I was happy I was asked for that. And I didn't at the time, I didn't know who was going to be there. And I kept hearing, I see you're on the website. You're with this and this person. So I go on the website. I'm looking. Okay, Myron Mixon, Tuffy Stone, Chris Lilly, you know, Carolyn Wells, you know, all these, and I'm like, how do I fit in here? You know, I'm just like, these guys are, you know, I look up to, you know, they're like my, you know, I've seen these guys, you know, they've been around for a long time. Why is this guy from Sweet Smoke on there? But it was pretty interesting. I mean, I enjoyed it, and we had a big crowd for that seminar, and we gave a lot of good tips and information out, and after the thing, and you know, people messaged me saying, you know, you guys gave great information out. So it was pretty interesting to be there just to see, you know, that, you know, I've never been to a, you know, barbecue conference, so it was pretty I guess I didn't know what to expect. But I was, you know, I very grateful that I was asked to be on that panel, especially with those, you know, with those group of guys. You know, I know Myron very well, and you know, I know Myron probably the most out of those guys, and I've, you know, talked to Tuffy, you know, met Tuffy before, but never Chris Lilly. And Chris Lilly is a very nice, you know, just down to earth. You know, it was a really cool experience. To be honest with you.
Yeah, you know. I'm sick that I didn't get to go to that, you know, with it being in Florida, because we don't get that lucky for them to come each year. So, yeah, I'm glad that you got to be part of that. I didn't realize you had been part of that, to be honest with you. So that's great, Jim. I mean, that's part of your new future, you know. you know, Chris Lilly, though, you cannot get near him at Memphis in May. Because I tried to get to him for some comments when I was doing one of my live shows. He's very difficult to get to for that
kind of stuff. What I noticed, you know, with Tuffy, you know, Tuffy doesn't get out. I mean, especially, you know, what I experience at ISC. You know, Myron gets out, and, you know, a lot of people know him. But when Tuffy, I tell you what, Tuffy's got to have a disguise, you know, a lot of times. He's just, like, bombarded. I'm like, you know, and the same way, with, you know, with Chris, you know, I don't know. It was just kind of a surreal kind of thing. And I'm like, I never thought, you know, looking back, you know, a couple years ago, never thought I'd be anywhere near these guys. So it's just...
Yeah.
You know, it just shows you, you know, if you have the passion and the desire, just, you know, make it happen.
Well, I'm super excited for you. Look forward to seeing what happens the rest of the year because, you know, I know Jim McCoyne, he was definitely making a run here. And Rubs had a pretty good year, and Matt's still having a good year. So
no, Matt, they're all, it's right now it's a four-way, you know, about anything can happen. And not saying I'm... You know, I could miss, you know, one or two, you know, down the road, you know, before the end. So, depends on, you know, what's going on. So, I gotta, you know, the contest I go, I gotta get as many points because I wanna get another team of the year. You know, it wasn't my goal going into it. It's just, but once you get to, you know, in that point, you're like, it's that competition. You know, you're right there. I'm like, I gotta go for it. So,
well,
I don't know.
I'm sure.
I It's probably like a, you know, doing a hard, never did hard, you know, and drugs, but yeah, I just can't imagine that, you know, it's something like,
sure.
It is, it's like, people are like, how do you do this? You're not right. You know, I'm like, I just love to do this. This is, you know, when I first started in it, like I said, I love to cook. I never thought I had products, you know, smokers, this and that. I never thought that. I just did it because I love to cook. And then, you know, you just get sucked into it and even for new teams, and I talked to a new team this weekend, you know, down, you know, to South or Northport. There was a few new teams, and they're like, "Wow, this is so cool!" I'm like, "Yeah, you're the first one you're getting." It's like no looking back.
Yeah, they were. I was pretty excited about there was such a large number of new guys there, and they were having a good time. No, and you're right. I think once you get into it and you get the bug, that's it. It happens.
And the thing
hurt.
Is, you meet great people, and you know, it's just like it's like a you know, we call it a barbecue family. You know, it's a good thing.
But it hasn't hurt that Holly enjoys it too.
Yeah. She's I don't think she ever thought she'd be doing competition cooking every weekend or And she's been busy with, you know, work. She's been real busy at work and, you know, we just moved and new house and all this kind of stuff. So it's been overwhelming on both of our parts and trying to, you know, get back to somewhat normalcy, I guess. But I don't know what normal is anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't.
Good luck in Kissimmee. I wished I was gonna.
Yeah, I need. I just need two more for the automatic jack. So, hopefully, I can get to Lynchburg this year. You know, I've been been like 5 and 6 in wins in the past, and I haven't got the draw. So, I guess the only way to get a shoe in is to win 7. So, I got two more.
And then you get the lucky number 7 that you'll be able to put on your trailer, like Rubs got. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, good luck this weekend, and
thanks, Lori.
You know, the state of Florida is always pulling for you. I appreciate you coming on, Jim.
Thanks for having me. It was a good time to catch up with. We haven't really chatted.
Yeah, I know. I know. It is pathetic. All right, listen, thanks again, and I guess I'll talk to you on Monday for sure.
Okay, thanks, Lori.
All right, take care. That's Jim Elzer with Sweet Smoke, theletterq.com, and you can check out his products online or check him out on Facebook. That's it for me, guys. I'm off to get my trailer tomorrow. So, again, I'll go over that. If you want to tune in on Monday, it's 8 o'clock, the Board of Directors meeting for the Florida Barbecue Association will be right here, and you can listen in. Hope everybody has a safe and great weekend, and until then, I'll be back. Take care.